coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark, Sarah, and Pam. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupers.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by the area director for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Maine, Gary Violet. How you doing?
Best I've ever been.
Best you've ever been.
All
wow,
right.
We got you on a good day.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I understand you have a new golden retriever puppy.
Oh.
I do, named Sadie.
Oh.
All yeah. Right. Well, we're going to be talking about Sadie probably for the bulk of the interview.
Yeah.
Nice.
I feel like you buried the lead when I asked you what we were talking about today.
So we'll talk about Sadie and, yes, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Maine and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we get there, let's take a look at some headlines for Tuesday, August 19th.
The Sun Journal reports that the city of Lewiston will soon begin a nationwide search for a new police chief. Current Chief David St. Pierre announced his September retirement after 33 years of service. The city will set up a 5-person advisory committee and hold a public input session on August 26th at 5 p.m. at City Hall.
Maine has joined nearly a dozen other states that have added coercive control to their definition of domestic abuse in civil code. The term refers to a range of non-physical tactics that abusers use to alter their victim's behavior, including stalking, intimidation, and financial abuse.
The Court Street Baptist Church in Auburn is seeking restoration partners to cover $600,000 in repairs. The church has been vacant for 2 years due to lightning strikes and substantial water damage from rainstorms in 2023. The congregation has been meeting at the Grace Lutheran Church at 757 Summer Street.
Now it's time for the weather.
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
All right, birthday girl. The weather today for you is mostly cloudy today with a high of 71 and a low of 48. Cloudy tomorrow with a high of 68 and a low of 56. Sunshine returns on Thursday with highs in the mid-70s.
I might move my birthday to Thursday.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll let you do that.
Okay. Thank you.
In sports, the Red Sox lost again.
Oh,
This time to the Baltimore Orioles, 6-3. They'll play again tonight at 7 at Fenway Park.
And the Patriots wrap up their preseason on the road against the New York Giants on Thursday night.
That's your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is
Sweeping
the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for August the 19th, shall we? Yeah.
All right.
All righty then. We're going to start off with former MTV reporter Tabitha Soren, who is 58 years old today. She also worked for ABC News and NBC News.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Do you remember her from back in the day?
Yeah. I think I do.
Only from MTV, though.
Yeah. Not,
yep.
Not from any other legitimate news source.
I'm so sad.
Are there any left?
I know. Right.
I'm so sad MTV isn't what it used to be.
It was so cool when we were kids, man.
Gary, did you grow up with MTV?
I sure did.
Did you love it?
Yeah. I sure did.
Back when they played music videos.
Well, the only thing that was different back then is you had to play well, not look well. Today, you need to look well and play well.
Yes. Yeah. I think it all started with Milli Vanilli.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that video.
That's right. I remember the good old days when ugly people were allowed to make music.
Yeah.
That was the best.
Tom Petty comes to mind.
Yeah.
Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Actor Kira Sedgwick, 60 years old today.
Love her.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Oliver Stone's Born on the 4th of July. That came out in 1989.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also plays Madeline on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Wasn't she on another show, like a long-term?
She was on The Closer.
Oh, okay.
From 2005 to 2012.
Yeah, that was a long one.
Yeah.
She was also in that movie Phenomenon with John Travolta that is so underrated that I like so much.
Actor John Stamos, 62 years old today.
What? 62? Uncle Jesse can't be 62.
Uncle Jesse is 62. What has he done outside of Full House? That's what I thought.
Yeah. I feel like he was on a soap opera. Wasn't he on a soap opera?
I'm not sure.
Fuller House?
Oh, yeah, that.
He was on that, too.
Good call, Pam.
Yeah.
He was also on a made-for-TV movie about a basketball coach.
Was he?
Oh, I think I did see that. Yeah.
Oh, he was on ER for 4 years, you guys.
Oh, okay.
As a patient?
No, as one of the doctors. He's a doctor.
Never noticed. Singer and guitarist Elliot Lurie of Looking Glass is 77 years old today.
Never heard of that.
Fantastic song back in 72 called Brandy.
You're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. You don't know that one?
No.
Whoa. Oh, it's a masterpiece.
He sings, "My life, my love, and my lady is the sea." So even though Brandy is a fine girl,
yeah,
she can't compete with the ocean.
She ain't finer than the sea. You know that song, right, Gary?
I do.
It's great, right?
Yeah, you really don't want me to sing it, though.
I kind of do.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Okay. He's not going
He's
to.
He's like, after you hit the record button again and it's shut off.
Right.
Yeah. 80.
Singer Ian Gillan of Deep Purple is 80 years 80. Old today. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the greatest bands of all time.
Didn't they always play with, was it Blue Oyster Cult?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Aging myself now, though.
Oh, man. What a twin bill that is, right?
Yeah.
And rounding out FPBs for August the 19th is our very own Sarah.
It's me today.
It's Sarah's birthday today.
Yay.
And she took yesterday off.
Well, I took yesterday off because I was working at my job.
What?
My brain hurts right now.
My other job. Oh, okay. Yesterday was a 14-hour day. Look at his shoes.
I thought you just wanted a three-day weekend for your birthday.
No, I was working Saturday. Sunday and Monday, I was actually in Manchester, New Hampshire at the PSTA. Okay. Looking at shoes.
I could think of worse things to be doing.
Yeah.
That's why you left me alone at the balloon festival.
I did. How did it go?
It was great until it started pouring
rain.
Until
it rained.
Yeah.
So no 6 p.m. launch of Spider Pig.
Correct.
Yeah. I was so excited. So on Friday night, I don't know if I talked to you, I got invited up. In a balloon on Saturday, the pilot for Spider Pig came over and he was like, "Hey, if you want to go up tomorrow night, I don't have any passengers and I would take you." So I got all excited and scared and I showed up and it was windy and I was like, "Oh, we're not going up." And I walked over to Pat and I was like, "Hey, are we any chance?" And he was like, "Not a chance."
No.
I was like, "All right, that's okay."
Gary, have you ever been up in a balloon?
I have never.
Now, would you, given the opportunity?
I probably would. Yeah. My wife wouldn't go, though.
No.
She's kind of afraid of heights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you don't want to go up in a balloon.
Yeah. I have parachuted before, though. Jumped from a perfectly good airplane.
It's awesome, right?
Yeah.
I've done it a bunch.
Did you like it?
No.
No.
No. I don't need to do it again.
No. That was a military thing.
Oh, so you went solo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and you were forced to go.
I was helped to go.
You were helped.
Scooted along.
Strongly encouraged.
To the door.
Wow.
Did you land like a ton of bricks?
No, in a tree.
Oh, ooh. No.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that later.
Oh, no.
I'm making a note. Those are your FPBs for August the 19th. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
I missed that. I missed it.
You'd be fine if you started singing.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah, all right. Let's see. 22.
Brandy, you're a fine girl. Never
all right.
mind.
On this day today, Gary Violette sang Brandy on the podcast Lydia's Lunch Bunch. 22 years ago in 2003, newlyweds Nick and Jessica premiered, starring Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson. The show didn't last, and neither did the marriage.
What?
Aww.
I don't know how long they were married, but it was only a hot minute. That was the one where she was eating tuna fish and asked if it was Chicken was the sea was tuna.
So they were divorced in 2006.
Oh, so 3 years. So that's like 10 years in real people time.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's see. 58 years ago in 1967, the Beatles' All You Need Is Love hit number one on the pop charts.
All you need is love.
Yeah. 116 years ago in 1909, the first race was held at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and that's where they do the Indy 500.
What was the fastest speed then?
5 miles an hour. And
it was a foot race.
A horse ran by them. 166 years ago in 1859, the crazy French stuntman, the Great Blodin, crossed Niagara Falls on a tightrope, carrying another man on his shoulder.
No. Why? Absolutely.
It's crazy
not.
Enough to do the tightrope thing. Why would you put another person in it?
And who is that person?
I don't know. Someone very small, hopefully.
I wanted.
Right?
They were done with it. They were like, yes. It doesn't matter what happens.
This seems like a good way to go.
Right.
All right.
Those are your OTTs.
Let's get this train back on the tracks.
Yeah.
Or at least attempt to.
All righty.
Those are your FPBs and OTDs for August the 19th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Now we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, area director for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Maine, Gary Violet. And Gary, you have a lengthy career in public service.
I do, yes.
When did it all begin?
When I left the military, I had a business in Kennebunkport, a pizza shop, video store, and laundromat. And I decided I did not want to be an entrepreneur anymore. So I took a position at Goodwill Hinckley. Up by Skowhegan, it's a residential facility, or was a residential facility, for at-risk youth. I did that for about 10 years. And then I had the opportunity to become a Boys and Girls Club director in Massachusetts, in the city of Hudson. And I worked in Hudson, Marlboro, and Framingham. I think that the reason why I transitioned to that was because the position at Goodwill Hinckley was very difficult in that we worked with extreme cases with at-risk youth, and I found myself getting to be a little burnt out. Mm-hmm. And then when I transitioned to the Boys and Girls Club in Massachusetts, it was like, yeah, I get to play with kids. A couple of behaviors here and there, but most of the time it was dodgeball and things like that.
That's fun.
So I did that for about 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I moved back to Auburn to take care of my mom. I'm one of seven children, and I'm the baby, her favorite, of course.
Of course.
She kept trying until she got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Auburn. I graduated from Edward Little. So when I moved back, took care of my mom. She passed a year or so later. And I was working at GE, not working with kids at all. My wife found that there was a director position open in Auburn for the Boys and Girls Club. And I'm back doing that again. Yeah. Been here for about 6 years. So all in all, probably, if I do the math in my head, almost 30 years.
Wow. Yeah. How do you go from being an entrepreneur, selling pizza, video games, and owning a laundromat, to helping at-risk youth?
Well, I started having thoughts that I was spending no time with my kids. Pizza shop was open. It was really like a pizza sandwich shop. It was open like at 6 o'clock in the morning and went till 10 o'clock at night. And you know, the other businesses complemented that, where they worked out well. But it was like, you know, I was missing trips with my kids to go to, you know, Santa's Village or Fun Town or whatever. There's always some crisis. And Goodwill Hinckley had this thing: spend more time with your kids, and other kids as well. So I decided to get out of that and move into, you know, some sort of care.
I have never attended the Boys and Girls Club. Can you give us an overview of what it's all about?
The Boys and Girls Club is a safe place for kids to go after school during the school year. Basically, we run programs that are academic, educational and health and wellness physical programs in our gym. So I'm just going to give you a day in the life of a kid. So they would get dismissed from school. We have four vans on the road picking up 9 different schools in Lewiston Auburn area. It's kind of like chaos with vans. And so we would pick them up at the school. We have an app on our phone where we sign them in as soon as they get on our van, so then they're our responsibility. They would be brought to the Boys and Girls Club. They'd be offered a healthy snack, and then they divide up into pods according to what grade they're in. First and second would be a pod, third and fourth would be a pod, fifth and sixth would be a pod. So you don't have little kids competing against big kids in the gym and things like that.
Yeah.
And then we have a carousel of events or a carousel of activities where they could be in the games room, they could be in the gym, they can be in the learning center, they can be in the art room. And we also have programs or people come in and run programs in our club as well. So about every 40 minutes, they would rotate from like the gym to the art room, from the art room, you know, possibly to the games room and things like that. And the kids, when they come through the door, they say, where's blue pod? Where's red pod? Where's purple pod? That kind of stuff. So they know where their day's going on. And we run that probably till about 5:15. And then food insecurity is a major issue in the Lewiston Auburn area. So we serve hot meals from 5:10 to 5:30. And then they rotate back into their area or their pod or whatever until they're picked up at 6. So that's basically what happens in Auburn. Auburn is grades 1 through 6. Lewiston is middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. It's a great idea to separate them because the programs that we run are for the needs of our club members. Well, middle school and high school kids have much different needs than kids in the first grade and second grade. And they're not competing for staff or gym time and things like that. So we have a teen center over in the Lewiston Armory. My expectation, we opened that up in 2021. My expectations, we'd have, you know, 20, 25 teens or whatever. Because we, on a good day in Auburn, we'd have, you know, 10 or 15. So our enrollment blew up because the Lewiston Armory shares a parking lot with the middle school.
Right.
So we had kids walk in, hey, I want to join. Hey, I want to join, especially in the wintertime when it's cold out.
Yeah.
Mm. So the programs we run over there are more career-driven or social awareness, that kind of stuff. So we do like a job readiness, resume writing, mock interviews. I'm happy to say that 6 of our teens have summer jobs this year. So, you know, I miss them. They do still stop over for supper time when, you know, they get out of work or whatever. At the teen center. But we run a similar schedule over there, but it's more geared towards the teens and, you know, their needs than it would be the little kids.
That's so cool.
Yeah. You talk like you're a proud parent. Yeah. I love it.
You are keeping these kids busy.
Yeah. Sometimes we overschedule. I'll give you an example. So in Auburn, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we do, in the summertime, we do a Michael Phelps Learn to Swim program where we pack them up in vans, bring them over to the YW, and work on a curriculum to teach kids how to swim. A couple years back, we had a couple of fatalities in the Lewiston-Auburn area. Some younger kids drowned, and we got together as a community and said, how are we going to combat that? Well, Michael Phelps has a curriculum and the grant monies to pay for resources, and we were able to partner with them to teach kids how to swim. Last summer, we taught 63 kids that had never been in the water before how to swim. And this program we've been running now for about 3 years. On Wednesdays, we go to the splash park. Different pods will go different areas. We may go to I used to call it the East Auburn Outlet because I grew up over there.
Oh, the beach over at Lake Auburn?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what it's called. It has a park name now.
Yeah. It'll come to me probably at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, probably. Always.
And on Fridays, we'll do major trips. We'll go to Popham. We'll go to the main wildlife park. We'll go bowling. We'll go mini golf and things like that for the younger kids. So it's like summertime, we have a, you know, pretty rigid schedule. So
yeah. How do kids become members?
It's very easy. You go to our website for a Boys and Girls Club of Southern Maine, and then you pick your location, and you would sign up. I think Pam has done it once.
Has she?
Wow.
For yourself.
Yeah, and you can also call. A lot of times we have parents that have difficulty navigating things like that because of, you know, they're new citizens to Maine, and they'll set up an appointment, come in, and Jessica, a girl at the front desk, will help them.
I was reading one of your, you highlighted on one of the Facebook posts
from
the Boys and Girls Club. And one of the questions was, what is the best piece of advice you have ever received? And you said, avoid drama when at all possible.
Yeah, that's with the club members and the staff. And a lot of times kids will come to my office and say, this happened and that happened. And I says, well, were you creating drama or were you feeding into it? My background is in behavior management, so, you know, managing social settings and things like that I've been doing for a long time. Drama is a major thing.
What are some tricks and tips that folks can use to avoid drama and de-escalate situations?
So I usually tell the club members that if you're talking about somebody else, that's not okay. If you're talking to somebody about somebody else, that's not okay. And a lot of the drama starts that way. In my office, I have a couch, and it's a magic couch. The kids come in that are having issues, and we find out, you know, what exactly is the major concern. And a lot of it has to do with younger kids not knowing the appropriate way to act in social settings. It may be because that's what they're used to. If they don't have drama, they cause drama. Because there's a lot of drama or chaos. It's kind of like, you know, I'm used to chaos at home or I used to chaos at school, so I'm going to bring chaos to another environment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the kids, once you talk to them about that, they have an understanding, okay, I can kind of see what you mean.
Mm-hmm. So isn't it
a lot
so
of our kids have,
yeah.
A lot of our kids have a lot of difficulty in social settings. COVID was a major concern about that because they weren't able to go to school. They weren't able to interact. They didn't play sports, things like that. We were a site during COVID where kids would come and do remote learning. And I noticed after, you know, we got back into, you know, the regular norms, the social settings were, you know, all the little nuances of teaching, you know, yes, please and thank you and, you know, not pushing, not no hands on, that kind of stuff. Went out the door, especially for the younger kids. So, and we basically abandoned middle school and high schoolers. Oh, you're old enough, you don't need somebody to watch you. And the academic holes that that created was enormous.
My son's father was a Boys and Girls Club kid, and he talks about it. He's just turned 46 years old. He talks about it all the time, going there as a kid with his brother, and how they're, you know, when the Gen Xers, our parents were, they were working, we were kind of on our own. But he talks about it so fondly all the time, and he talks about how if it weren't for the Boys and Girls Club, he and his brother would have been running around feral in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I see that still is especially, you know, they were in a rural area, but especially here where they're, you know, we're so compact, there's so many people. Having a place for them to go throughout the summertime and after school really creates that environment, minus the chaos where they can not be feral for a little while, have some structure, have something reliable that gives them, you know, a reason to keep on coming back.
Yeah. I'm kind of in a good position because I set the rules, limits, and structure, but I think I break the rules more than the other staff do, like when we pass out candy and things like that. I try to make an environment where it's fun because if, you know, it's too rigid, then, you know, why do kids want to go?
Right.
You want them to want to come
to the rules.
Getting back to what you were saying about the after school, the state estimates that 40,000 young kids between first grade and eighth grade, 40,000 go home to a home that's empty.
Mm-hmm. Still. Yeah.
So the need for after-school activities and programs is, you know, enormous in the state of Maine. And there are a lot of good programs in the Lewiston-Auburn area. not just the Boys and Girls Club, Tree Street, Root Cellar, The Y, PAL, and we try to partner with all of them. They have things that, you know, we don't have. We have things that they don't have.
You know, when a kid goes home after school and they're by themselves for a few hours, and then the parents come home from work and they're exhausted, like, it's a tough battle, you know, where the parent is trying to get home, settle in, get dinner ready, or what have you. Whereas if they've gone to, you know, say the Boys and Girls Club, the kids have been productive and entertained and things like that, where when they do come home and the parents pick them up, like, everybody is good to kind of settle in. I feel like that just creates a more settled home environment.
Yeah, it's funny because we do hot meals at both locations. So we do dinner, like, you know, American chop suey, chicken Alfredo, you know, pizza, you know, all kinds of different, you know, our whole menu.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah, me too. And I find that the parents, because of their day is so hectic, want them to eat at the Boys and Girls Club because that's one less thing that they have to worry about when they get home.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And you can enjoy each other better when, you know, everything like that is kind of like done and planned and figured out, and then you can enjoy each other's company more.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, though. I walk into the lunchroom area where the kids eat their dinner, and I see the social interaction between club members that, you know, they have a certain amount of time to eat, so they're not in a hurry. You know, they talk about, you know, what happened at school or what happened. And I think that's, you know, a healthy interaction that you get back to, you know, having conversation and a meal. And I get to catch a little bit of that at the Boys and Girls Club.
It's like a family.
Yeah.
That's cute.
We talked about your golden retriever puppy a little bit at the top of the show, Sadie. She's also kind of a member at the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah. So I talked to the staff and I said, I think I'm going to get a puppy. And a bunch of the staff at the Boys and Girls says, oh, you should bring her in. She should be a club dog or whatever. And I'm saying to myself, I don't know. I end up buying another crate and putting it in my office. And when my wife's not working from home, I bring it to the club. So about 3 days a week, I'll pick her up about noontime and then bring it to the club. And she has a calming effect, even though she's a hyper puppy. She has a calming effect when kids are in, you know, a mini crisis and things. So it works out well. And then I have a list in my office on who's going to walk her and things like that. So.
Oh, that's cute. So they can, they're participating in the raising of Sadie.
They are, yeah. We have the little blue bags in my office in case she has an accident or whatever. No, basically I'll take care of that. But they have, you know, seen her as a puppy, this cute little, you know, 5 or 6 pound puppy. Now she weighs like, you know, 30 pounds. We have a fenced in area at the club, which it works out well. We open a door and she can go roam out there and stuff like that. So
dogs are great.
It's funny, though, because my wife says, why is she always jumping on me, but she doesn't jump on the kids at the Boys and Girls Club? And I said, I have no idea. Well, I really do, because my wife's disciplined voice is the same as her happy voice.
Oh.
She got that pitch going.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Hi, Sadie.
Yeah.
Does she understand that Sadie doesn't actually speak human and she doesn't
know
the difference? That's funny.
Love it. Fall for the Kids. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We have probably 3 fundraisers for the Boys and Girls Club in the Lewiston-Auburn area. One of them would be the golf tournament that we have in the summertime. That's a great event. And we have Fall for the Kids in October. We have a gathering of local businesses, and at times we'll have like an auction or whatever to raise funds for on the activities we have. So the fees that we charge for our programs are pretty minimal. When you talk about 4 vans being on the road, picking up, you know, 5 days a week from all the schools, and you talk about the meals that we put together and things like that. And a lot of that's covered with grants, but there's funds that need to be raised through philanthropy that make the programs work much better. And we have some great community partners in the Lewiston-Auburn area. And this is just an event that, you know, we're hoping we can, you know, raise more money for certain programs that we have.
Yeah. It's just like a cocktail party, kind of?
Sometimes we do a meal. Sometimes it's a cocktail party. I think this year it's going to be a cocktail party because in years past, the length of the event was longer than the people that were there wanted it to be.
Right.
So I think it's going to be a cocktail event where we have hors d'oeuvres and drinks and things like that.
Yeah, it's a great way for businesses to support the Boys and Girls Club.
You can get the tickets for that right on the Boys and Girls Club website, bgcmaine.com. Oh, .org, sorry. bgcmaine.org.
There we go.
There it is.
Yeah, and that's on October 17th, starting at 5:30.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. Can we get dressed up fancy?
I'll be dressed up.
Dressed up fancy?
I might even have to speak.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gary, are you going to wear your penguin costume?
Oh, I
need that. Penguin costume? Is that like code for tuxedo?
Do you want to tell
no.
this story?
So I was a member of BNI for a year, and I went up to the president and I said, are we going to dress up for Halloween? And he says, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Oh. Well, then I didn't hear anything from him. So our next meeting was by Halloween, and I came in a penguin costume.
Oh,
I was the only one that came in a costume.
It's bullying.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
I got a lot of traction out of that, though.
People noticed you, right? They were like, how can we help support this person?
Yeah.
It wasn't just that day. We talked about it for quite some time. And
yeah.
The BNI president never lived it down.
That's not the worst experience I've had with that outfit, though.
Oh.
Okay.
I wore that to the Boys and Girls Club for our Halloween party. And, of course, all the construction we have in the area, you know, is happening all at once. Well, we had a bunch of vans out that were picking up kids, and I went out to talk to the site manager that was doing construction. They had a road closed at both ends. So I go out, and it got a little heated in that I had to drop kids off at a safe space, and he had trucks blocking the road. And I says, I know you can't take me serious because I'm standing here in a penguin outfit, but we really need to clear a lane for vans that are coming in here. Well, a couple of days later or whatever, he and the city manager stopped by and they said, you know, we're talking with me about an entrance and things like that. And I said, so would you be able to, you know, are you able to take me more seriously now that I'm not in the penguin outfit? And he says, that was you. That was you.
You looked totally different.
He said, I thought you were an
I talked to the senior manager about this crazy guy coming out in a penguin outfit complaining about not being able to get vans by the Boys and Girls Club.
He didn't think you were serious.
No.
It is hard to take a person in a penguin costume seriously. Yeah.
Especially when they're shaking your flipper at you.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
Gary, how can folks support the Boys and Girls Club?
We have a great partnership with the schools and the United Way. I'll give you an example. The United Way, we did some community service there and helped them pack backpacks and things like that. And we had a huge community service project with that where we helped them, you know, unload backpacks and things like that. And they distributed, you know, them to the area schools and different events and whatever. And we were able to get backpacks from them. So most of the support that is needed at the Boys and Girls Club would be things like athletic equipment, educational materials, things like that. We, you know, have a lot of people that donate shoes and books. We have Lamy Wellahan doing a book, a shoe, more or less a shoe event where they have got sizes for all our kids on September 4th.
You'll see me. I'll be one of your fitters.
Nice.
Yeah.
At that time, we'll pass out backpacks, and they'll be the kids in our club will be fitted with shoes. The needs of the Boys and Girls Club are more the needs of the club members than they are for the Boys and Girls Club. Yes, you know, financial contributions help, you know, tremendously. But, you know, area businesses, some have donated, you know, catered an event we had or helped or whatever. The Rotary comes to our Thanksgiving event and, you know, serves, you know, the Thanksgiving meal to our members and families and things like that. So volunteering is a major contribution. We've had some great people do volunteering at the Boys and Girls Club. I would say probably volunteering stabilizes our activities in that instead of having one staff supervise, you know, 15 kids, we have one staff and a volunteer. So volunteering would be great. Yep. That always helps.
Do volunteers need any type of special training?
We do a background check.
Yep.
They do have some online training through Boys and Girls Club of America. Mm-hmm. And most of it has to do with mandated reporting. If you see something that you're concerned about, you know, that may have happened, or a situation with a kid, they would have to report that. But it isn't, you know, this, it's like, I think, 4 hours total.
Why give so much of yourself to this cause, to at-risk youth and your community?
That's a good question. I probably should have prepared for that. It's not, it's a job. I've had, you know, many jobs, but it's not a job to me because I enjoy doing it. There's a need in our community, and I'm not saying that, you know, I feel, you know, that that's something I need to do to get recognized for. But I just enjoy seeing when the kids come in and they smile and they're happy and I'm working on or helping them with needs they may have, whether it's academic, you know, nutrition, or whatever. It's not a job for me. And my wife says, oh, you go in at 7, you come home at 6. And I says, yeah, but it's not, I'm not working when I'm doing that. There's a lot of administrivia that I, you know, I still have to do. And that's, you know, probably the worst part of the job. Yeah, it's not a job.
But it does take a special kind of person to do what you do.
I would say yes. A lot of it has to do with stress management.
Yeah.
But I've been doing this for so long that, you know, there isn't anything really new that I haven't seen before, you know, so dealing with that. And most of the stress that the staff have is because they don't have the experience or haven't gone through that before. So, you know, they don't know, okay, if this happens, what do you do here? If that happens, what do you do there? You know, and a lot of people want solutions right then and there. I'm more or less, I'll sit back and say, yeah, that was interesting. And then... you know, move forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having a background in behavior management was probably the biggest stress relief that I have at my job. So when I see a behavior or I have a situation where there's, you know, an issue or whatever, I can come at it from a direction with experience. So one of the hardest things was, I'll give you an example. We had a cookout, and typically we had about 20 teens show up throughout the summer. Well, the day we announced we had a cookout, we had 45.
Ooh, wow.
So how do you stretch, you know, an expectation of 20 to 45? We handled it pretty good, though.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. A couple trips to BJ's, we were pretty good.
Yeah, that'll
it's
take
a good
care
thing
of
you're,
you.
Like, right here in town, right?
Yeah. Gary, anything else about the Boys and Girls Club that you would like our listeners to know before we head into our final segment?
Yeah. We do not exclude members for any reason. If you have financial difficulty, we will find funds to make sure you're able to go. So you're not restricted by, you know, what you would make or whatever, sending your kids there. I'm concerned that the number of kids that we have in our community that aren't doing things after school really need to be doing things after school. On a note, in the teen center, the teens that we have are so culturally diverse, it's amazing. I learn something every day I go over there. Our Youth of the Year won the state Youth of the Year competition and competed in New York this year. He speaks three languages fluently. I remember a stigmatism when I grew up that my last name is French. So, but if you speak French, you were treated different or whatever. You know, my parents spoke two languages. I only spoke one because they were afraid I would be picked on at school. Well, we have some young, new citizens to Lewiston, Auburn that speak three or four languages that, you know, 6 months or a year ago may have been living in a tent. And now they have the opportunity through programs like the Boys and Girls Club to succeed. We have a great group of kids over there. And, you know, a lot of misconceptions about, you know, the young people that are in the area. And I have firsthand experience. I think that that's a great addition to our community.
Thanks for doing what you do.
Yeah. Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
We like to close out the show with a segment called Three Random Questions, where we're going to ask you questions that have nothing to do with anything we've talked about so far. Sound good?
Sounds great.
We just want to get to know you a little better. Gary, if there was a movie made about your life, what would be the one scene that people talked about on the ride home?
One scene that talked about on the ride home, a movie about my life. I don't know, probably a family cookout. You know, I have, you know, 4 children, 9 grandchildren. Those events are phenomenal when we have cookouts.
I bet Sadie loves them.
Yeah. Anything that hits the ground is hers.
She waits patiently.
That's right. Yeah.
What is the naughtiest thing that you did as a child?
Ooh.
Oh. Well, I used to live by Lake Auburn. We used to go swimming in Lake Auburn all the time.
Wait a minute.
I could probably get in trouble for that still. Or, the naughtiest thing I did. Yeah, that would probably be it.
Swimming in restricted space.
Isn't there a time length that you can't get in trouble for it after
a while?
I
don't know.
Yeah. Did you get caught? You never got caught?
No, my mom caught me. We had our next door neighbor almost drowned, and I ended up pulling him out. But my mom said, you were swimming in Lake Auburn, you're grounded for a month. I said, oh, okay.
No. All right.
Yeah, all right. Never mind.
Okay. What is the worst thing you've ever eaten?
I'm not a big fan of sushi.
Oh.
Yeah, I got some bad sushi one time.
Ooh, that'll do it.
Bad sushi would definitely turn a person off from sushi.
It ruined a weekend for me. I had it like on a Friday night and then spent 2 days at home.
That's very unfortunate.
That is, because sushi's not terrible.
It might have sat in the back of my wife's car too long coming back from the grocery store
the
now
heat.
That I think about it.
Yeah.
It was a little warm.
Oh, God.
This is just getting worse.
You're going to ruin Sarah's birthday.
Sarah, you asked the question.
I
that
know.
Was a very unusual question for you.
That's right. I was trying to keep it.
It had nothing to do with furry animals.
To keep it tight. Well, I was going to ask.
For a body part.
I thought about asking about salad, but this seemed like a good day to take things seriously.
All right. Well done. Gary, thanks so much for your time today.
It was great.
We certainly appreciate you, and we hope you had some fun. Again, thanks for doing what you do, and don't stop, because we need you.
That sounds great.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Here's Gary Violette of the Boys and Girls Club of Southern Maine. And we want to thank our sponsor for today, Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I have bitten my cat.